Hello, and welcome to the Untitled Female Driven Podcast. We are three film and television writers who are here to talk about how to make it as professional writers in the entertainment industry. This podcast covers what we wish we'd known when we were getting started, and you can learn the easy way what we learned the hard way. I'm Jess Cho. I mostly write for television.
I'm Erica Schreiber. Sorry. Hannah and I are in a stare off here. Who's going to go next?
She does features. She's supposed to go last.
Fine. This is Hannah Rosner. She mostly writes for television too.
Correct. And this is Erica Schreiber, and she mostly writes features, but occasionally other funny things.
So welcome to part two of pitching, guys. So happy to have you back. And last episode we did was sort of about the business side of pitching. And this episode, we're going to talk about the creative side, the nitty gritty, like what do you put in an actual pitch? The best person to talk about pitching creatively is Erica, because she's done it so many times.
And also, I mentored NYU graduates with my partner, Mina Maban, who's an exec. We used to do a like pitching masterclass for them. And so I created the sample pitch doc that we're going to go through specifically to teach them how to pitch. So like, we all pitch a lot. I just feel like of the three of us, I probably have told other people how to pitch the most.
How many pitches have you like sold or I guess gotten hired off the pitch?
Several, I guess. Sometimes success is just I attached producers to the project. We weren't able to sell it, but I successfully pitched to producers and got them to come on board. So like, that's a win.
Yay you.
But I got no money.
So how many pitches have you done?
Many. I feel like it happens probably more on the film side than it does on the TV side. That any job I want writing a movie, with a couple notable exceptions, I've had to do a pitch for. The job that got me into the WGA was getting hired to write a movie for Blumhouse based on this really crazy idea that this one director had. And so I went in and pitched to Blumhouse and to the director, and they hired me off of that. Before that, I had done pitches that I did not sell or did not get hired for.
Since you've had some success with pitching, I would say I've had zero success with pitching because no one's bought anything of mine. I guess my question is, where did your template come from? Did you get it from film school, or did you come up with this on your own?
I definitely didn't get it from film school. I honestly, this is my retaliation for not teaching me pitching in film school. If you're listening, dramatic writing at NYU, teach your students how to pitch because I've been doing it for you. So basically, I didn't have this for a long time, and I would just do pitches however I thought I should. And then I talked to other writers, and I, you know, there's a lot of people who have materials online about how they pitch. And so I crafted this together. This is pretty basic. And when we're done with it, I'll talk about all the ways that I use it and all the ways I don't use it. I've had people teach me some really cool tricks on how to make your pitch more interesting. But this is a really basic pitch document that is meant to create a 15 to 20 minute pitch. I use it for both film and TV. I would say it might be slightly more helpful for film. With TV pitches, it kind of depends on the network.
And you can even do your homework. You can look online. I think there's a website. It's just called, it's bookmarked, I should say, in my on my laptop is TV writing. I'm sure there's actually a website.
Is this the Google one with all the scripts?
Or? Yeah, it's the one with all the scripts. And that is really helpful because you can look at other pitch documents, and there's Bibles, which is less helpful. But, you know, the way that Bibles are structured is sort of like a much longer version of the way that a TV series pitch could be structured. So it's helpful to look at what other successful, you know, shows that have sold, what did they do? And also, who did they pitch to? Because every company has, they might have a slightly different mandate as far as structure of your pitch and what they like to see.
Probably the best resource for TV pitches is Javi Griot Martzwatch's website. He posts all of his pitches on his website, and you can check him out and see how he structures them, how he does it. It's an amazing resource that I recommend all TV writers check out. But so let's jump into this, into the sample pitch doc. I always suggest starting with an intro of why are you telling this story? And like, that can be anything from a really personal tale to just, I love this genre. Here's why I love this genre. I've done everything from like, I did a pitch about for martial arts movies. Like, hi, I spent my childhood watching martial arts movies. I fucking love martial arts movies. I love this about them and that about them. And that was my way in. And then another pitch I did, I was like, here's a really embarrassing personal story of me in high school. And everyone's like, oh, okay. And then that's why I want to tell the stories. I want to tell the story of a girl like that. Right. So I think that's really important. It's good. It's a good way to help your listeners get to know you, how you talk, how you think, what's cool about you, and specifically why you're spending their time. Why are they listening to you for the next 15 to 20 minutes?
Yeah, it's important to remember that the best thing is if you're pitching something that you have a personal connection to, because it's, you know, the main character has a similar background to you, or, you know, you've had a similar experience to what the story is about. That is best case scenario, because then the execs think that you are best equipped to tell the story. You share a point of view, or you have understand a way in. That's not always going to be the case. Sometimes you are writing a martial arts movie, but you maybe don't have a background in martial arts.
Well, I actually did judo as a kid, and I ended up in the emergency room.
There you go.
So I was real bad at it, guys.
If you don't have a personal connection necessarily beyond just, I love these movies, that's fine, because enthusiasm is everything.
And you can connect any way you want. Maybe you see yourself in the protagonist. Maybe there's a theme in there that's really important to you. Maybe it's the societal impact you hope this movie will have or TV show will have. If you can't think of a good reason why you should be the one to pitch this, then you probably shouldn't be the one pitching it.
I had a pitch recently, and everybody always says, oh, I love these books as a kid, you know, when they go, if they're going in to adapt a book series. But I actually genuinely, this book series like influenced everything I've written since I was 9 years old. So when I had the Zoom meeting, and I actually showed them the book that I had, and it said in the margin, like, Hannah Rosner, fourth grade, Mrs. Lacey's fourth grade class, aww, Mutual Elementary School. And then I had like drawn pictures in the margins of the book, and I could just tell they were like, A, this is so cute, that like 9-year-old you, but also you really have loved this book your whole life.
I mean, that's like a best case scenario. But again, if I were pitching on that and I hadn't read it, I would have found something in that book that, I mean, if Hannah loves it, this must be great. And just be like, I read these books and they really touched me, and here's why. And I wish I had discovered them when I was 9, because they would have helped me in these ways or whatever, you know? So whichever way you come at that, like, sometimes you get really lucky and it's like, this book takes place in my hometown, or this movie, you know, is a remake of the movie I literally ruined the VHS tape for when I was a kid because I watched so many times. Like, sometimes that happens. But you don't need that to have this introduction that's your personal way into what you're about to pitch, right? So from then, I usually move into an overview, right? And a lot of times I start with the log line. It's pretty straightforward. Like, a log line just gives a really simple frame. And this is something I'm going to repeat a lot, is a frame for your listener, right? To know the structure of what you're going to say so they don't get lost. So whatever your show or movie is, this is where you put just the most basic. And it's also logistics too, right? Like, if you're pitching a TV show, is it network? Is it cable, right? Is it 10 episodes? Is it 22 episodes? Like, is it a comedy? Is it a drama? Is it animated? You know, or for movies, like, is this along the lines of John Wick? Is this, you know, because like, if I tell you, like, it's the Three Little Pigs in space, is it sci-fi? You know, like, is it a comedy? Like, I would want to know what's the flavor of that. If you just say, I'm retelling the Three Little Pigs, like, in space, it's a Western, it's a dramedy, like, whatever it is, you know, there's so many different ways that a story can be heard, and you want your listeners on the right page right from the start, or else they're going to just have so many questions, and the kind of questions you don't want them to have.
Such as, how do you puff and blow a house down in space when there's no atmosphere?
Such a great question. That's actually a good question, right? So that's your overview, right? Like, just what is the nuts and bolts? What is this story? Then you want to move quickly into tones and themes, right? Because you want your listener to know what kind of movie or TV show they're listening to. And this is when you would say, like, you know, Three Little Pigs in space, but it's like along the lines of The Dark Knight. And they're like, oh, it's dark. Or it's Zoolander. They're like, oh, this is going to be really funny. So this is a good place to also put your movie meets movie comparison or TV show. Like, this is Fleabag meets The Expanse. You know?
That's my dream show. Let's make that.
You don't want to just drop comparisons, though. You want to use what it is about those things, right? If you say it's The Dark Knight, because you're like, I want to talk about the descent into chaos. So you need to use your own words to describe what it is about those things and what it is about that tone that you're using. And then, of course, the themes, like, you don't want to go too hard here, but what is the story really about, right? What is Three Little Pigs in Space really about? And for me, it's about, you know, deconstructing societal norms, you know, or whatever it is, right? Or it's about family. Alone, these three little pigs can't do anything, but together, they have the power to stop the big bad wolf, which is, I don't know, some evil nebula, whatever. You're going to use these themes throughout, right? Like, you want to bring it up at the top here so that when you're talking about your main character, you're bringing it back to that theme. And when you're talking about the plot, you're bringing it back to that theme. So, like, wherever you can find meaning in it without going over the top, that's where you want to use that.
Yeah, in a way, when you're doing this pitch, the beginning part of your pitch where you go into intro, overview, and tone/themes is probably the most important part of your pitch, because what you're doing is you're laying the groundwork for the people who are listening. You're basically like, this is a foundation and I'm going to build off of this foundation. And so we want to make sure everyone is on the same page for that foundation. Otherwise, there will be a lot of problems near the end of the pitch.
Yeah, it's sort of like you're teaching them how to listen to you. And then you go into the also possibly the other most important part of your pitch, which is the characters, right? Your protagonist. If you, unless you have like a truly ensemble piece, like you really need to do your protagonist first at the top and just really hit it hard. To the point that I actually sometimes will only do the protagonist at the start of the pitch before I get into plot, and I will introduce characters as they come up. Just keep in mind, anything you say to a degree is going to go in and one ear and out the other. So like things that can be really helpful with characters is comparing them to actors.
Archetypes too, to be specific. Like if you know, Tom Cruise, it's kind of, you have a visual in your head, not just of the actor, but like the type of role he usually plays, or he's a Jason Momoa type, but you get that in your head of the type of character. So it's not that you're saying, I want this actor. Of course, maybe that's dream casting. That's fine. But it's giving the executives an idea of what you're looking for. And so they have something to visualize as you're pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. I got really lucky on one pitch that had cast attached, and I got to pitch just using their names. And I was like, oh, this is way easier. And so keep your names pretty simple. Don't make them too similar to each other, because the last thing you want is someone being, excuse me, like, which character are you talking about when you get going, right? If you name a character like Kelly, don't name another character Carrie. Like, people will just be like, what the hell?
And also on the topic of characters, it's important to just keep the references, the characters relevant. Like, make sure you're talking about actors that are in movies now, unless they're, again, like a Tom Cruise or a Will Smith, they've been around for a while. That's fine. You get that. But if it's ideally, if it's like kind of a niche character, a really unique character, maybe try to use a comp of somebody that's in the zeitgeist right now.
And have maybe a couple alternates, like, you know, like, have you seen this movie? She's like that character. Oh, you haven't seen the movie. Like, have you seen this one? You know, like, have a backup plan. But this is also when you want to talk about their arcs. You want to really generalize here. If you've got the Three Little Pigs, you know, main character is like oldest pig. His arc is about redemption, right? He abandoned his family, but now he's going to have to step up. Don't get too far into it. Just give me that archetype, as Hannah said, of like what they're going to be going through. You don't need to explain their whole journey because you're about to, you know, get into the plot of your movie. But like, what's going to be their thing? Why am I watching them in this movie? What are they going to be accomplishing or failing at? Depending on how complicated the pitch is, I might pause at this point to be like, any questions so far, right? Because I'm about to jump into the story of the movie. And that just gives people, if they're like, I'm sorry, which one was Kelly and which one was Carrie? You know, like, gives them their moment to clarify anything they might need to. So now you tell your story. And this is more of a film thing, but there is a way to apply this to pilots, right? Like, you're either at this point going to tell the story of your film or the story of your pilot. And everywhere you can, let the listener know where you are, right? Be like, we start act one with, or we start our movie with, right? And that takes us here, right? At the end of act one, here's what happens. The more that you can give people a sense of where they are in the movie, the less confused they will be. Like, our midpoint is this, right? And that's what I do with pilots. I don't do act one, act two, act three, act four. Like, no, it's too many acts. But I will definitely say in the first half of our show, this. Our midpoint is here. In the second half of our show, this. The climax is here. It's a roadmap. And that, again, you're teaching them how to listen to you. Overdo that, because you would be, it's really hard to listen to someone pitch a story about people they've just made up in a world that they've just made up. And a lot of times it's not going to be Three Little Pigs, a story everyone knows. It's going to be some really cool plot you've come up with that you want to surprise people. And so the more you can let them know where we are, the easier it is for them to listen. Be engaging. Really cut this down as much as you possibly can. Write it all out and then cut it down. And then cut it down and then cut it down and then cut it down. And then maybe you're there.
Yeah, you really don't want to pitch every beats. You don't even want to pitch every act out for a pilot or every, you know, every act out for a movie necessarily. It's more about what are the important plot points that are pivoting the story? What's changing? What do we need to know? And then I would ask you for features, because, you know, in TV, if you're pitching a TV show, they're not expecting you to say how the show ends, because in the best case scenario, your show never ends. It goes on and on and on into syndication forever. But for a feature, do you want to tell them how your movie ends?
Absolutely, you okay. do. You want to have it be a really satisfying experience too. But yeah, no, this is not the time to play coy. You are here to tell them the whole movie, twists and all. And as much as you possibly can, tell it through the perspective of your protagonist. That's the biggest tool you have, is like, how does Kelly feel about this? What does Kelly do? You know, how does Carrie stop her? tell me what the protagonist journey specifically is. And again, you've set up the framework for that, right? So like in Three Little Pigs in Space, I have set up the framework that the oldest little pig is going to redeem himself. So in Act One, the oldest little pig abandons his family because he wants a life of his own. And our midpoint is the point that he finds out that both of his brothers have had their houses blown down or spaceships blown down, whatever, right? So in the second half of the movie, this is what he's going to do, right? So like, I already have the framework in mind. This is a story of redemption. This is a story of a pig that learns to stand up for his family. So like, you've already laid groundwork, and now it pays off here as you tell the story. And the twist is, of course, that, I don't know, the oldest pig sacrifices himself to save the other two.
Wasn't the littlest pig the one that ran wee, wee, wee all the way home? Like, didn't he abandon his family?
Wow.
See, I'm putting my exact
hat
actually, on.
You have, but you're actually confusing this with a different little pig. That's this little piggy.
Oh my God.
So
that's how,
if we were in
that's
a pitch,
how old
I
am.
Would politely say like, that's such a great question, Hannah.
See, I
Thank
was testing you.
You. But we're actually doing the Three Little Pigs and not.
How do you not make an exec feel like an idiot?
It's very difficult sometimes. But you tell them that's a great question. Whatever it is, that's a great question. However, you're completely wrong.
This is why I'm a writer and not an executive.
So if you are doing a TV show, right, you finish up the pilot, you're going to do almost always a season one overview, how the rest of the season plays out. And you really want to highlight the emotional beats for the protagonists, the big choices they made. You're not going into nearly as much detail as the pilot, right, or else we'll be here all fucking day. But same idea, like, what's the mid-season point? What's the second to last episode? Where's the finale? You know, like, you really want to provide that structure of episodes, especially for a TV show. You know, your three or four main characters, what do they go through? That's another way you can do this, is not even necessarily a story, but like, here's the arc for the for oldest little pig in season one. Here's the arc for middle little pig in season one, right? Here's the big bad wolf's arc, you know, like, that's a much easier thing to listen to than just me saying like, and then the fleet moves into the Andromeda Nebula and they fire all weapons.
You want to pitch the important story turns for your character story. And as far as like plot, you really want to be as spare with it as possible. You're telling the plot ideally follows the character story and the character arc. But you do also probably want to pepper in, especially for a feature pitch, some great set pieces.
Yes.
What are the trailer moments? And like, you know, pitch those in such a way that you're painting the picture in the executive's head. They can see it and they can see the trailer and they can see the poster and they can see how they would sell this movie.
Here's a trick too for heavy action movies with a lot of set pieces. When I pitched my martial arts movie, I actually gave them the act structure at the top. I was like, just a sentence each. Act one is setting this up. Act two is knocking this down. Act three is the resolution where we build it back up, so that I could go into detail on those set pieces and they didn't think that set piece was half the movie. So that can be really useful. You know, again, just marking your place as much as you can and providing the framework. So again, if you're doing TV, after you do the season one overview, you will probably do season two thoughts and beyond. Do not go too far here, because the idea being, if you're pitching this to a network, that they're going to be a big part of any of these decisions, right? Like, they want to know that you have ideas, but you don't want to be like, no, you see, the youngest pig has to die at the end of season one. So within season two, we can have this specific vengeance story. Then it turns out the little pig's mother is a wolf, you know, and they're gonna be like, I don't really like that. But you've just pitched it as if that's definitely what you want to do, right? So the farther out you get, the more you want to present things as themes and ideas and character arcs and not specific happenings, because that will make them feel like you've already decided. What do you need me for?
That's another good example of when it's good to have answers, but you don't give it all in the pitch. Ideally, they're going to ask you, how do you see season two going, or three or four? And you have ideas, but again, you're collaborative. So you're not like locked into something.
Erica, you once gave me this advice, which is pitching is a bit of magic and a bit of jazz hands.
Yeah.
And
I
totally believe that, because if you give the execs too many details, they get completely bogged down by that. So you're just painting broad strokes and you're creating a picture for them. And it's really just a mirage hanging in the air. But hopefully they like that mirage enough that they'll be like, yes, here's some money.
That is the goal. Please give me the money. But yeah, on Jazz Hands, once you master the basics, that's when you can get really fun. And the kind of Jazz Hands stuff that Jess is referring to is if you're doing something that has, say, a lot of world building, like Three Little Pigs in Space, I might do a world building section at the top, be like, this is a world where humans are extinct, pigs have taken over, and wolves have become powerful, you know, like, you know. But there's another way to do this too, which is jump into the story and be like, let's talk about pigs and how they've gotten where they are, right? Let's talk about wolves. Like, I use it in things where, you know, like if there's magic, I'll be like, let's talk about magic. But I will do that like near the end of Act One, in which magic becomes a really important part of the story, you know? Or let's talk about, you know, middle-aged relationships. You've been married for 20 years, and this is how that starts to feel. Like, again, I don't want to put everything at the top. I want to put that in where it matters. Like, you know, at the midpoint, when if our couple decides to break up, like, that's when you talk about, like, here's how that feels, you know? And then you bring it smoothly back around into the plot. It also helps you gloss over things that you don't want to explain in a pitch, right? Is like, it's that misdirection of like shiny thing that is really fun and exciting. And then he's like, ooh. And then we come back to the plot and it's 20 years later, you know, and like, okay, you know? So don't feel like you have to explain everything at the very top of your pitch. There's really cool ways you can find to do asides or to pepper things in and to make it a really fun experience for the listener. And the first person to teach me that was actually Andrew LaBelle in our writers group. So shout out to Andrew, who may or may not listen to this. But he described that to me in a way that was just, it's really effective of moving your pitch along and providing information in the funnest way possible.
On that same topic of how you pitch being just as important as what you pitch, this also might go without saying, but if you're pitching a comedy, make sure it's funny.
Yeah.
Make sure it has jokes. Work on your timing. And if it's a drama, then don't tell jokes unless there's a moment that needs levity. And you, if that's part of the tone, if it's a dark comedy, then try to make sure that the pitch itself is reflective of the tone of your movie or your show.
If you're pitching something serious, you can be funny at the top, but don't undermine yourself by being funny instead. Like, don't go for the laugh instead of the emotional moment. Practice as much as you can. Write it all out. Practice the shit out of it. Do your research for whatever you're doing. You know, if you are using certain kinds of space technology that is extremely relevant to the plot, know that backwards and forwards. Not to put in your pitch necessarily, but to answer the questions like, excuse me, I don't understand. How are the pigs traveling through space? And you're like, there's actually a theory right now of, you know, harnessing the power of nearby stars that can catapult you through space. And they're like, oh, wow, you really did your research. And that's what you want, is to know way, way, way more about whatever it is you're pitching than you're actually giving them in the pitch, specifically for the conversation that follows.
Do you ever have the why now question come up in a pitch? Do you put it as part of your pitch?
Yes, I try to preempt the why now question more in TV, I think, than film. And there's also networks whose mandate is like, why now, right? Like, why does this need to be told right now? I honestly hate this question. Because a good story, you don't need a why now, right? Like, if it's just a great story.
It's timeless.
Yeah,
ideally.
Like, why now with Queen's Gambit? People have been saying no to chess shows for the last, like, 20 years. No one wants to hear it. Queen's Gambit shows up. Oh, great, right?
So hot right now.
But yes, I think that's a really good point, Hannah, because that is a question that every writer should be prepared for in a pitch.
You can make that part of the body of your pitch rather than being prepared for the answer if you prefer by... You know, as you're talking about theme, that's what I often do is, oh, well, you know, this story is has a lot to do with social media and technology. And so then when I'm talking about theme, I'll also talk about, well, right now, you know, we live in a world of deep fakes and viral videos and all this. You know, you can tie it all as part of your story, kind of bake the why now into it. So they're like, oh, I get it. Zeitgeist. Got it.
I like to tie it into the why me part of the pitch, because it's like, why me? And it ties into the why now, because I'm just so invested in this thing that is happening in the zeitgeist. Is it really? We don't know. But it was just something I gloss over. So then after you've wrapped up like season one, season two, how do you wrap up the pitch? What do you end on?
If it's a film pitch, you end on the end of the movie. For TV, it depends on how complicated the show is. Like, again, if you need to have a world building section, if you need to have a budget section or something like that, like, you do want to really delineate, like, and I am now done with my pitch.
You want to say you're done without saying, so I'm done.
Yeah.
And one way I've found to do that, it still feels awkward no matter what, but I usually say, I have some further thoughts, but I wanted to open up to questions.
Oh, that's good.
I like to do like my final thoughts, and then I just hit the big things again. The tone, like, again, this is, you know, John Wick meets Fury Road. And, you know, I want it to be fun. I want it to be this. I want it to be that. And I think this is a really good opportunity to tell this story. Use the word opportunity, because then they're like, oh, it's an opportunity.
Ooh.
By hitting those big points again, it sort of drills down into what I want them to take away from this pitch. And then I say, okay, so take any questions you have.
Again, if you are making it really clear where you are in the movie or in the show, they will know that the end is coming. Less with a TV show, you're right. Like if you're talking about in season 2, it'd be this. I think you guys have really, the recapping or hitting those notes is really cool. But for a movie, like in general, like I tell them, and in the climax of Act 3, this happens. And at the very end of our movie, this happens. And that's our movie, right?
So I feel like we've talked a lot about like what to pitch, but now maybe we should move into how to pitch.
So I did a Twitter thread on this once. How do you guys dress when you go in for a pitch? And like, I generally dress slightly nicer than I would for a general meeting. I have like a casual blazer. I'll usually wear that over t-shirt, jeans, cool boots, a little extra on the makeup and jewelry. So I feel more confident.
Whatever makes you feel confident, not too over professional corporate feeling.
No suits.
No, yeah, don't wear a suit. I was like, you wear a blazer? I've never worn a blazer. But badass boots, that's key.
Badass
boots
is important.
For me, boots are the thing that make me feel the most confident. Like, yeah. I'm walking in here, I'm making noise, as you can hear me.
Having those heels click is like, it's dope. Dress in genre. Like, I pitch a lot of horror movies. I have many shirts with skulls on them. I wear those.
Follows the same logic as what you would wear to a general, but like you said, slightly nicer because you're putting in a little more effort and you want to feel confident. You want to feel like your best self, but you don't want to wear something that's too distracting. You want them to pay attention to the story.
And have it be comfortable. Like, wear it around your house for a bit. And if anything bothers you, don't wear that, because I promise it will become your whole world.
Also, the places you tend to pitch in, if you're not on Zoom, tend to be quite cold.
Which is great for pitching because you're like so nervous, you wouldn't want to sweat. So
right. Always bring a black cardigan.
You know, and on Zoom, all I really do is wear my skull t-shirt, and I try to wear makeup that looks like I'm not really wearing makeup, because I feel like that's very noticeable on Zoom. But I also, I will sign onto my own Zoom several minutes ahead of time and see how I look on Zoom. Like, is this exactly the angle I want? Do I have mascara on my face? Like, whatever.
Is there anything
it is
in the background that's distracting?
Yep.
Yeah, that's really important.
I do like to dress up a bit to go into pitches. And I found the best way to not to look like I just stepped out of a Brooks Brothers catalog is to play with color, like color and print and pattern. But something that's key is I really like wearing heels to pitches. The problem is you can make sure you can walk in those heels.
Oh, yes.
Because you will be doing quite a bit of walking during, like not during the pitch, but like you have to go up to the reception and then you have to like, they'll lead you back into a room and you have to be able to keep up with them. I once wore shoes where I could not keep up with the people. I was like hobbling after them. And that's not a good look.
Be on time. Show up on time. Get on that Zoom early. Yeah, be early.
Yeah, be there.
Between 5 and 10 minutes early.
5 to 10 minutes early because they're going to offer you water. You want the water.
Is there ever an amount of time that you're willing to wait? And after that time, after they still haven't seen you, you're like, okay, fuck it, I'm done.
Man, I've gotten close. Not for a pitch. No one's ever done that to me for a pitch. But there was a general ones that the guy kept me waiting the entire hour.
Mine was 45
minutes.
I
really wanted to storm out. But like, what does that get me?
At that point, if they know that they're 30 to 45 minutes late, they should just reschedule. And rescheduling happens. It's just be prepared. That's something that's going to come up. And it can feel very frustrating because you probably have been pacing around your house, like pitching this out loud to your dog or cat or significant other for hours and days on end. And now it's like, well, now I am doing this next week.
It's hard to accept that it's the most important thing in your world. It is not the most important thing in theirs by a long shot. Anything they have in production is taking precedent. Anything that's being brought in by someone more famous than you has precedent. And so like, you know, if something gets rescheduled 3 times, I start to feel really annoyed. I will say though, like if they're trying to reschedule within the same like small group of days, like if they reschedule for 6 weeks later, yikes. But if they're like, look, we're so sorry, something came up, can you do the next day or the day before or something like that? Don't be offended. Like these people are very busy.
I don't know. I would take that as a vote of confidence.
Yes.
That they only pushed it 1 or 2 days. That means they actually really do want to have this meeting and they want to hear your pitch and meet with you. So if it happens, just take it as more time to prepare.
So where do you guys stand on the great argument of memorize your pitch or read off of something?
If you can help it, don't read off of something. If it's the only way you can deliver your pitch, then so be it.
There's a difference between reading off of a piece of paper and pitching off of a piece of paper. Even if I do write stuff word for word, just going to be honest. I know that's probably not the thing to do, but I write it out word for word. I pitch it to the point that I don't really need to look at it again. But if I do, it's there. Part of the reason I do it word for word is because I work in a lot of transitions and sort of, I just like to be as prepared as possible.
I do this too, by the way. I write it word for word and then I practice it so many times that I basically have it memorized, but it doesn't feel memorized.
Exactly. Because it can feel rehearsed. It can feel overly rehearsed to them. You want to feel 85% memorized.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what I do. I have bought a really cute little iPad stand and I bring it with me and I put my iPad up and I just swipe through as I talk. And I am so familiar with the document. I even know where on the page various things are. I use big font. I color code like set pieces, emotional beats, love moments, like whatever I need. Here's what not to do. Don't have nothing in front of you. I've heard from several execs that freaks them the fuck out because they're worried that you can be thrown off easily, that you won't be able to get back on track if they interrupt you. Like they're just nervous for you if you don't have any notes in front of you.
We talk a lot about how much execs kind of suck, but they are, a lot of them are like human beings and they care and they want you to do well. By having something in front of you, then they feel like they can interact with you. It can be a conversation.
As far as what document to have in front of you, do you write it out word for word? Do you have color coded? I do write it out word for word, but I bold things that I want to make sure I don't miss because the rest of it I can just vamp. But whatever works for you, you got to do it a bunch of times to know. And my old boss would do like bullet points and I would look at that and be like, I guess that would prompt me to what I want to talk about next. A lot of people do that and that's super smart. Just didn't work for me.
You have narrowed it down to what's most important to say. So if you leave anything out, then you've left out something important. The other thing I do, I have a tendency to talk very fast, right? So I put slow down in giant red letters at the header of every single page.
I use underlining, I use bold, I use spaces. It's all just as a way to pace myself. Take a breath here, because if you don't take a breath here, this very important thing you're about to say will get swallowed up in all the words you're about to gush forth. Pacing is as important as the words you're pitching.
You know, we've been doing a lot of pitching over Zoom, and that has led to technical difficulties. And I think the most important thing to remember if you are pitching and there are technical difficulties is you are by far not the first person this has happened to. Sometimes the exec has the technical issues and you just need to be patient. Find out where did you lose them? What did they miss? You know, and go from there. The more you take it in stride, the more you're showing them that whatever happens in life that's far bigger than Zoom technical difficulty, you'll just be able to handle.
Zoom has been kind of a blessing in disguise in the world of pitching, for me at least, because you can have your notes in front of you on the screen, like right next to your Zoom window. Or if it makes you nervous, you don't have to look at the Zoom. You should, but you can kind of click back and forth. But you are able to make eye contact directly with, it gives the impression of that you're making eye contact with the executives that you're talking to, because you're looking right at your screen and that's where your notes are, as opposed to, if you're in a meeting, you're actually looking at a piece of paper.
We did accidentally skip over a question that I think a lot of people have, which is whether you need visuals. Honestly, a good pitch does not need visuals for the most part. Like if your story is good, if your characters are good, it should stand alone. If you do want to go down that route of a lookbook or just like, slides up, one of the things you can do on Zoom that's great is just share your screen and go through and be like, slide, slide, slide. Practice it. You will fuck it up if you don't.
I actually do recommend it only because I've just been hearing so much that execs now prefer it. Simple is fine. If it's just six images or something that, when you're talking about tone, you have an image that perfectly evokes and captures the tone that you're going for. There's a great, reference. The Stranger Things Bible is something to really look at. Because,
yeah, that's available on that Google TV website.
Yeah, that has a lot of great imagery from, the movies that they're paying homage to. So that can be helpful. And then also with casting, it helps, again, if you're like, like this actor, this character, if you have it right there and they're looking at it as you're talking about the character, then it's just that much easier for them to visualize it.
I've never done a pitch deck with any visuals, but I've been told that on Zoom, it's almost a requirement because otherwise they're just staring at your face on a screen. Why have them stare at your face when instead they can look at Awkwafina's face or whichever actress you want as a stand-in for your main character. I don't know if that will continue on when we go back to pitching in person, if we go back to pitching in person. I do know one writer, he used to carry, those big boards used to use for science projects in middle school? He used to make one of those for every one of his pitches. In person is going to be slightly different, but over Zoom, I think it's really, really helpful for the executives to see something on their screen.
I don't know. I feel like if you are speaking animatedly and enthusiastically and you are pitching well, no one's going to have a problem looking at your face.
Depends on the face. I'm going
to cut that out. Be confident. Thank you for listening. If you would like to send us an email about this episode or anything else you'd like to hear, we're at untitledfemaledrivenpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Also on Instagram, we are at untitledfemale. We're also on Facebook. We're everywhere. And feel free to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and get other people to listen in too.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck pitching.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.